But today we're going to talk about Deuteronomy 26, which is our Torah portion through Deuteronomy 29. And we're really going to focus on Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and curses. And so in verses 1 and 2 of 28, it says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God."
Yeah.
If you. Okay, these are Moses' final instructions to the children of Israel as they're being prepared to enter the land of Israel, of promise, the land of milk and honey. It is in these chapters of Deuteronomy that Moses lists the benefits of blessing, blessings if you're obedient, but it also details the curses that result from being disobedient. You know, it's always good to get the stuff, but there's stuff that goes with it if you don't do what you're supposed to do. The very last statement that Moses gives at the end of this reading kind of summarizes the whole Torah portion, so I can sit down after this sentence. Chapter 29, verse 8 says, "So, keep the words of this covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do."
Yes.
So, if you do them, what's going to happen? You're going to prosper. So when you read and meditate upon this Torah portion, according to Moses, if you want to prosper in anything that you do, it's imperative that you keep the words of the covenant.
Amen.
There's nothing that could be any more clearer than that. Moses could not state it more precisely than that. Okay, do you want me to repeat that? Yeah. So, if you read and meditate upon this Torah portion according to Moses, if you want to prosper in all that you do, it is imperative that you keep the words of the covenant. Simple logic can further be simplified by the axiom, obedience equals blessings, while disobedience equals curses. Remember I told you a while back we did a teaching on the Red Sea crossing, and I said, how do you get salvation? Well, it says in Exodus 14, 13, you stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. So what is it that you have to do to get salvation? Nothing. Just stand by. What are you doing right now? Sitting by. All right, but if I told you to stand up, you'd be standing by and see. That's how you get salvation. So if you want salvation, you got to go out and do all these things for God, right? No, you don't do nothing except one thing. Stand by or sit by. Your case. Okay. So whenever someone asks me if I'm being, why I'm Torah obedient, I always turn to Deuteronomy 28 and I read some of the blessings and curses to my questions, to my questioner, and ask this rhetorical question to them. Why would anyone want to receive these curses when through obedience the blessings will come to the faithful? Why do you want to be cursed? You want to be cursed? No. It's no fun being cursed. People always look at me like I'm weird. What are you, Deuteronomy 20, what's that? Some sort of skin disease or what? But most discussions usually stop right there. They don't want to go on with me no more. However, if the person wants to proceed further, I can make it clear to them that I think they are prejudiced against my household and me or something, you know. After all, if they are comfortable with the apostolic writings, the New Testament, I point out that in the Messiah, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, bond or free, so I'm letting you guys in too for free. Y'all can do what I do, you know, me a Jew, you a Gentile. We all can do that. It's just not Jews. Otherwise, the Jews would be very privileged in this world. And, you know, from what I read in the newspaper, they're not very privileged these days. If that's blessings, I'd hate to see what curses really are. Oy vey, yeah, so they're not really getting it either. Okay, Galatians 3, 24 through 29 says, therefore the law has become our tutor. The Torah has been our teacher, I'm from New York, to lead us to Messiah, so that we may be justified by faith. But now faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, we're no longer under a teacher now that we have faith, for you are all sons of God through faith in Messiah Yeshua. Yeah. For all of you who were baptized into Messiah have clothed yourself with Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Messiah Yeshua. And if you belong to Messiah, then you are Abraham's descendants, according to promise. You know, Abraham was not Jewish. This is a revelation that people look at me, huh? What do you mean he wasn't Jewish? Isaac wasn't Jewish. Jacob, that's your name, wasn't Jewish. You're not Jewish. But Jacob wasn't Jewish. His 12 sons, they were all Jewish, because in order to be Jewish, you have to be descended physically from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham howled at the moon before he came to the promised land. That's what his family did for a living. They were moon worshipers. I don't know if they did that for a living, but he was a Gentile as much as anybody else in this room is a Gentile. But he was a Hebrew. And Hebrew means one who crossed over, because he took this leap. He crossed over from being a moon worshiper, a pagan, I hate to use that term, to being one of God's chosen people, a Hebrew. So you could be a Hebrew and not be Jewish. In fact, the word Jewish comes from the tribe of Judah, and it means praise. So if you want to be Jewish, you got to be a praiser.
Yeah.
So if you don't praise enough, you're not going to be Jewish enough. In my life. There's Maxine. Hey, I got something for you. Right in the middle of my teaching. Come up here. I got to get rid of this stuff. Maxine Harris and Tia, where is she? She went into the teaching. Congratulations on your Bert Mila. My job is done. I've gotten rid of all of those. I can retire. I'm going to move to Arkansas and retire in the hills. The Ozarks. Yep. Maybe Daisy May will come to congregation with us. Little Abner. Joking. The Apostle Paul's, where was I? The Apostle Paul's contention to the believers in Galatia was very clear. The Torah, or the law, I sought the law and the law won. The law has become a tutor to lead one to the need for the Messiah. It is by faith in the accomplished work at Golgotha of the Messiah that I have become a son of the Most High. Amen? I have been baptized in the Messiah and have clothed myself to believe in his atonement for my sin.
Yeah.
And man, did I sin. Believe me, I sinned. 600 and at least 12 or 13 of those I did.
Yeah.
And then there's a few in the prophets that I did. And then there's a few in the New Testament I did, not even knowing what they were. I'm a sinner. Bad dude. Not national status. You don't have to be an Israeli. You don't have to be a society's position. You don't have to be Dale Carnegie. Nor gender. You don't have to just be guys or women. Have anything to do with my becoming a part of the Israel of God. I didn't get there because I was Jewish. You didn't get there because you were Gentile. But since we belong to the Messiah, having been purchased by his blood, then according to Paul's statements, we are now heirs to the promise, and one of Abraham's descendants. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so if someone were to continue in a discussion with me about all this, I would point them to the book of Ephesians. Yeah. where Paul indicates that in the Messiah, we have become part of the commonwealth of Israel, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Messiah, excluded from the commandments of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off, way off, have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, uno, echad, nung in Thai. I couldn't speak Thai. Made one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man. Hallelujah. One new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace. Shalom to you who were far away, and shalom to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Yeah. Hallelujah. We can go to Abba. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Welcome to our household. So nice to have you. You don't have to ring the doorbell anymore. You can just come in. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone, yes. Hallelujah, to whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. In these statements to the believers at Ephesus, Paul unequivocally, I love that word, unequivocally states that those of us who were part of the uncircumcision, some of you were, or non-Jews, were separated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, without hope and God in this world. You didn't have nothing. This was a desperate place to be. I wouldn't want to be there. Would you want to be there? Some people are still there. And yet, because of Yeshua's crucifixion and resurrection and my belief in his atoning work, I have become part of the one new man and reconciled by the blood sacrifice of the Messiah. And you all have too. Amazing. Both Jew and Gentile alike. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. I'm waiting for a song. As a result, you could do it.
I know.
We can stop for that. I am no longer a stranger or alien to the commonwealth of Israel, but instead have become a fellow citizen of Israel. Hallelujah, you have. And a part of God's household. By belief in the Messiah of Israel, we are being fitted together with all others who share our belief as a part of the eternal dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Okay, and so if the guys keep arguing with me, which they never do, but if they did, this is like a dream time here I'm giving you. I would further relate to them that what Paul says to the Roman believers, that as a follower of the Messiah of Israel, that as a wild olive branch, we have been grafted in to the olive tree of Israel. And so I'm going to read Romans chapter 11, verses 16 through 36. These are so exciting, because this describes in great detail what Paul's understanding was regarding the relative unbelief of the Jews in his era. If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, usted, being a wild olive branch, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant towards the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Okay, you will then say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, guess what? He wouldn't spare you either. Remember, if you think it's bad to be a Jew and get all these punishments from God, you know, God can give them to you too. You know, you're not just set aside as being more special. Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they did not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. You know, they could get back on the tree. You could fall off the tree and get back on. How many branches have you ever seen in your yard do that? It just don't happen, does it? When them storms come whipping through, them branches come down with big ones, small ones, little ones, little twigs. But none of them. I've never seen one go back up on the tree. Never. But God can do that. He can take branches that are laying in the yard and put them back on the tree. And then they would grow fruit again. Amazing. Wow. Let's see, where did I, was we reading? I don't know. Yeah, I know. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. That's where I was reading, wasn't it? For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? So they can get back on. Man, that's awesome. For I don't want you, brethren, to be uninformed of the mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, but that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until Israel's hardening happens until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And then all Israel will be saved. When is the fullness of the Gentiles coming in? Do you know? Is it April 3rd this year? Is it December 26th? Is it going to be tomorrow? You don't know? Then what are you waiting for? You need to become part of this, because as soon as that happens, Israel is going to be saved and it's all over. And then you're done. And if you didn't get on the wagon, you're off the wagon. You're not getting back on the tree after that. Because just as it is written, a deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choices, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers, for the gift and calling of God are irrevocable. Yes. He doesn't go back on his word. For just as you were once disobedient to God, now you have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so they're also now, these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience so that he may show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has his priest given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Again, Paul makes the argument that believers in the Messiah, regardless of their origin or birth, are being grafted into the olive tree of Israel. All of us, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. What other kinds of people are there? Chinese? They're Gentiles too. People from China are Gentiles. Although I do know some Jews that are from China. So there's Jews and there's Gentiles. And who other are there? None. People from New York. Good job. Boo! Well, there's Jew-tiles. You remember, life is futile unless you are a Jew-tile.
Amen.
Amen. So there are three different kinds of people. Okay. So whether I'm discussing my reasons for Torah obedience with a Jewish believer or a non-believer, provoking him or her to jealousy, I'm going to stand by my convictions that I am part of the Israel of God. And that is a different Israel than we know about, read about. If I have to go back to the Torah and describe the rules and regulations that apply to the ger is called the stranger, and the stranger is the Gentile who aligns himself with Israel. I have to point out the following verses from the words of Moses. Exodus 12:49 says, "The same law shall apply to the native as to the stranger who sojourns among you."
Amen.
So if you are a sojourner, you a sojourner? Yeah, I don't sow, but I journ. Leviticus 19, 33 and 34 says, when a stranger, that I'm used to being a stranger, not a sojourner, but a stranger. Yeah, I can be strange. Right, Delma? When a stranger resides with you in the land, you shall not do him wrong. Got to be nice to him if he's hanging around with you guys. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So, from those scriptures, I'm convinced that no matter when you attach yourself to the Israel of God, you are going to be required to follow the dictates of the Torah. Can't get away from it. This applies to whether you are sojourning with the Israelites in the desert march, or accompanying Israel when the Jordan is crossed, or down through the ages to the period prior to the crucifixion, or in the post-resurrection period. Nothing changed. Still the same. Under the enabling power of the indwelling Spirit of the Most High. Where did it change? And now all of a sudden, in order to be saved, you have to come to church. Where does it say that? You always got to go to Israel. God doesn't change, does he not? Does he change all of a sudden? Say, well, I don't like these synagogues. I'll just make some churches. And y'all become Baptists or whatever. With all this being said, I contend that I am part of Israel of God, and that is a part of the unique people that all of the scriptures apply to my household and me. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hurt anyone, because people have been under a misconception for 2,000 years, and it's not their fault. The church fathers wanted to get away from Judaism as much as they could, and so they distanced themselves as far as they could from their Jewish roots, and they cut off themselves from the tree. And it's sad, because there are a lot of good people. There are a lot of good people who need to hear some heavy words. After all, why would a citizen of Israel want to disobey his heavenly Father when it is abundantly clear that through obedience we receive his blessings? I mean, why would you disobey God if you know you're going to get blessed if you receive his, if you're obedient to him? Therefore, one who gets to this portion of Deuteronomy, when one gets there, I believe the Israel of God is responsible to follow the commands that are applicable given our location and station in life. Obviously, you can't do certain commands. You don't have any oxes in your backyard, do you, Clark? On Polk Street, there ain't no oxes. So all those rules won't apply. There's no temple in South Omaha, is there? No, that's Jewish. No, it's in Jerusalem. So obviously those, and you're not a guy, so you can't do them guy things. So, you know, you can't do all the rules. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? But you can do the ones that apply to you, right? Okay, you know, the sons of Israel have been blessed with the revelation of the Creator, because Moses tells us in Deuteronomy 26, 16 through 19, "This day the Lord your God commands you to do all these statutes and ordinances. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have today declared the Lord to be your God, and that you would walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his life ordinances, and you would listen to his voice. The Lord has declared you to be his people, a treasured possession, Am Segula, right? As he promised you, and that you should keep all of his commandments, and that he will set you high, high above all the nations, which he has made for praise, fame, and honor, and that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God as he has spoken." Throughout the scriptures, there is a unique relationship between being not only a segula, a treasured possession of the Most High, but also a holy, set apart, and consecrated people, you know, unto him. This is a reiteration of what Moses spoke to the children of Israel years earlier, as they were promised to receive the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. Exodus 19:5 says, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession, my segula, among all peoples, for all the earth is mine." God owns all the earth. He even owns Brooklyn and New Jersey. And he likes New Jersey and Brooklyn. Amazing. He owns it all. God makes this proposal to Israel that includes obedience to his voice and keeping his covenant. If you recall, not just after Moses shared the words with Israel, the overwhelming response was a desire to do all that the Lord had spoken in order to become the Lord's treasured possession. Exodus 19:7-8 says, "So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all the words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.'" Yeah. They didn't say, "We're going to form committees and study about it and read about the word that you said. We're just going to do it, everything you said." And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. The Hebrew word segula, or treasured possession, is used a few other times throughout the Tanakh to describe the unique relationship that the sons of Israel have with the Almighty. Two times in the book of Deuteronomy, this expression is used as Moses continues to impress the Israelites with their matchless relationship. Deuteronomy 7:6, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession, his own segula, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And in Deuteronomy 14:2, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession, his segula, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." As a confirmation of what Moses declared in Psalm 135, verse 4, it says, "For the Lord has chosen Jacob," Israel, "for himself, Israel for his own possession, his own segula." Psalm 135, verse 4. So let me encourage you today, all of you that are here today, if you consider yourself by faith to be a part of Israel, of God, to take your privileged position seriously. After all, do you want to receive the blessings of God or the curses? Gesundheit. The scriptures are replete with admonitions about the requirement of obedience in order to receive the blessings of God. The forerunners of our faith understood what was required. Joshua, who inherited Moses' leadership position, grasped the concept of obedience and service in order to receive the blessing of God. In Joshua 24:15, it says, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah. First Samuel, the prophet Samuel said in 15:22, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, hine, it is better to obey than to sacrifice and to heed the fat of the rams. Yeshua makes it abundantly clear that if you love him, obedience is required to receive his blessings. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John, the Apostle John, confirms this in 1 John 5:2-4. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So if you are of the faith, you are a part of Israel of God, then you are required to obey the commandments of God in order to receive his blessings. You don't have to do them to get saved. You're already saved. Remember the children of Israel were in Egypt? They said, God said, put some blood on your doorposts and I'll keep you guys alive, and if not, I'll kill you, firstborn. Well, they believed. They had faith. And then they got to Mount Sinai later on, and they said, well, now what do we do? And he said, well, here's my commandments. Because you're saved, I want you to do these, and you do them, you'll receive blessing. What could be more clear than that? Why do people stumble over that? The Jews don't do commandments to get saved. They do commandments because they are saved or want to be saved. They just don't know about Yeshua. Whew. They'll find out, though. We're going to tell them, right? Yeah, it's up to the Gentiles to tell them. That's why we're saved. So, you're required to obey the commandments of God in order to receive his blessings. If you don't want any blessings, then don't obey them. Who cares? You know? If you don't want to prosper, then don't pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It says in Psalm 126, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. If you don't want peace in your house, don't open your door of your house and walk in, and don't say shalom when you get there. Because it says in Luke 10:5, if you say shalom, then peace will come on you or the person that's there. But if you don't want peace in your house, you don't want that blessing at all, you like your house the way it is, fighting with frying pans and throwing pots and pans at each other, that's okay. Don't say shalom when you get home. But if you want that blessing, open the doors, it says in Luke 10:5, and say shalom. Open up your closet doors and yell shalom. Open up your bathroom and yell shalom. Your bedroom, shalom. Your living room, shalom. Your garage, what do you say in your garage? Shalom. Okay, then your car will start. Yep. By reviewing portions like this Torah portion each week, we have an opportunity to reconsider some of the choices we make when it comes to the commandments of God. The choice is ours. His word, guess what? Never changes. It will not change. When you consider the listing of the blessings and curses in Deuteronomy 28, it's easy to prefer the blessings to the curses. Yeah. How many of you like to be cursed? Anybody? Me either. The difficult thing is obedience, isn't it? Easy to say, hard to do. May the Israel of God all be led to choose obedience in order to receive your blessings. After all, you are his amsegula, his treasured possession, and you will be holy, and you will be a set apart people. Amen. And I think you are already. Amen.